Well, hi, out there in website land. It's so great to have you coming back to us to continue in this series. And I know that you've seen some wonderful things so far in this series. Don't know where you were before you came to us. But wherever you were, no matter how wonderful you are or how terrible you were, I know you've learned something about God. Something that made it worthwhile for you to come back. And what I want to say is this. As wonderful as everything has been that we've learned about God and talked about God so far, we're just about to hit the boosters and have the rocket take off. We're moving into really exciting times. And I just want to say to you that from here on out, tighten your spiritual seatbelts. Pay attention to the scriptures, for we are truly going to blast off over the near future. And you're going to hear things which for most of you, you've never heard before. And I guarantee you, for all of you, there'll be things that you have never heard. For each and every person. God is a great God, and this great God lives inside you. And we've looked at what this great God has done for us. And tonight we're going to look at the five parts of the armor of God. We saw back in book one that man is a five-part being, spirit, with a heart, a soul, a mind, and a body. This five-part being, Jesus came to save all five parts. He came with a five-part salvation. Luke 4:18 described it. He came to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, that the spirit man would be born again into the family of God, from the poverty of going to death into being son and daughter of God. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to deliverance to the captive, deliverance of the captive souls. James 1:21 tells us your soul has to be saved. The engrafted word would save your soul. Recover your sight to the blind. Before Jesus came, before we were born again, we lived by the sight, the physical sight, walking by circumstances. Ah, but now we can walk by faith and not by sight. We can walk by the Word of God, which has renewed our mind, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And finally, he came to heal those who were bruised, for our bodies were bruised with sickness, disease, infirmity, with the wages of sin. And Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, he was bruised for our iniquities. He took our iniquities and the bruising of our bodies, and by his stripes you are healed. So we saw that we are a five-part being. We saw a five-part salvation, a Pentecostal salvation. Last module, we saw that God provided five baptisms for the five-part to move each of the five-part towards salvation. Baptism into Jesus to get the Spirit born again. Baptism into Christ so your heart would be filled with Christ and with the engrafted word. Baptism in fire, so everything, every desire, hopes, every goal, every plan, every ambition of your soul, which is displeasing to God, would be burnt away by the fire of your love for God. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, so we can be led by the Holy Spirit of God, so we can move in the gifts of the Spirit of God, so we can live in the fruit of the Spirit. And finally, baptism in water to wash away the sins of the past, for water cleanses. And to come out of the water identifying with the death of Jesus. And tonight, in this module, we are going to look at the five parts of the armor of God. Now, just the name smacks of warfare. Five parts of the armor of God. This is our introduction to spiritual warfare. And Jesus, in John 10:10, gave us a very concise definition of spiritual warfare. He said, the thief, which is the devil, he came in illegally and usurped the power that God had given to man. God had given to Adam authority and dominion over the earth. And Satan came in and tricked Adam and Eve, resulting in Adam sinning and bowing his knee to the devil. So all the power and authority in the earth went to the devil. The thief came in to steal, kill, and destroy. His purpose for getting that authority, that power over the kingdom of the world, was to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, and this part is from the Message translation, from the Message Bible, Jesus said, I have come that you might have real and eternal life, better and more than you ever dreamt of. Wow, what a statement. Jesus has come, so we have life better than we have ever dreamt of. And to achieve that successful life, to achieve that goal, God has given us the armor of God. Now, the armor of God, as an overview, the armor of God is not something you put on when you need it. I suppose if you look at warfare, that soldiers that go in to fight, they put on all their gear and then they go out to fight. In a sense, that's true. But what's behind that is they've been training and training. The Marines say it so well. They're either fighting or preparing to fight. And that's what the armor of God is all about. The armor of God is not something you put on in a hurry when you need it. The armor of God is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle based on knowledge and understanding and the exercise of living the Word of God. It's all about knowing the Word of God, understanding it, living it by speaking it and doing it. And when we do that, we develop a belief and a behavioral system which guides our lives. And the more we do it every day, the more we make it a lifestyle, is the more we do it automatically. So when the enemy pops up, you know, the enemy tries to surprise my wife, and I'll tell you, he gets surprised. Because when my wife yells at the devil, I think the neighborhood stops. I know I stop. You know, I mean, I was having some challenges with my computer recently, and I tried everything I could, and I prayed, and finally, I was sitting there looking fed up, and my wife said, what's the matter? I said, this thing is not working. Boy, she yelled at the computer so much that I almost jumped out of my chair. And you know what? She yelled at the computer and the devil. Everything started working. It's such a lifestyle that she jumps right into it. And that's what God wants us all to do. That we live the Word of God 24 hours a day. That every response is automatic. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm encouraging you all to do. Make the Word of God such a natural, ongoing, automatic response in your life that you're constantly wearing the armor of God. And so tonight we're going to look at five parts of the armor that match the five parts of your being. We're going to look at them a little bit in depth. There's a sixth and a seventh part. The sixth part is your tongue, the words of your mouth. The major interaction between you, being a five-part being, the major interaction in the spiritual realm between you and the rest of the world is through your tongue. You know, the engrafted word spoken through your tongue will set your soul free. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life from the power of your tongue. James 3 says, your tongue leads your life, guides you the way a rudder guides a ship. Part 6, the tongue is the offensive weapon which speaks the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. When Jesus returns as King of Kings, he comes back with a sword in his mouth. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God. So we're going to focus on that and give that an entire module by itself sometime in the future. And the last part of the armor of God is praying. It's your action, your works. And your major work should be prayer. Praying always. And of course, caring for the rest of the saints and for everybody. So those we'll look at in later modules. So tonight I want to spend a few minutes looking at what the Bible says about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bible, you can open to it or pop open your cell phone. If not, on the computer where you are, just click on the outline and it will pop up. So, Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Our strength is in him, not in our control and discipline. Our strength is being in him, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. If you and I abide, John 15 verse 7, if you and I abide in him, we have whatever we ask. If you abide in him, you shall have whatever you ask. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. So we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might when we put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil today is defeated. When he stole the power from Adam, authority over the earth from Adam, he was the god of this world. Small g, god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls him the god of this world. But Jesus came and defeated him. Today he's a defeated god. But he's only acting in defeat to those who know he's defeated and know how to enforce that defeat. Well, the major way of enforcing that defeat is to keep on the whole armor of God. It's in living in the armor that we can stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. He has no power today except the power that you and I give him. But he's so deceitful, he's the father of lies. He can trick us into saying things we shouldn't say, which share our power or give our power to him. So what he does is trick us into saying words which he can use back against us. The trickery, the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So when somebody offends you, even if they holler and punch you in the nose, your fight is not against a person. It's against the person, it's against the being that tricked that person into punching your nose, or trying to punch you in the nose. If you walk into the armor of God, you shouldn't get punched in the nose. Believe me. I remember one time somebody took a scythe, you know, one of those thing like you see with a grim reaper, with a sharp blade, and went like this to go after me, and I bound up the demon in the person. And frankly, I should have bound up Satan, but I known something about the person. I bound up the specific demon I thought was active. So instead of freezing and stopping, it slowed down. If I said, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, which I've done in the past for other situations, they freeze. Literally, stop. This one went in slow motion. And in slow motion, the side is coming around at me, and I was able to step back and it missed me. And then the person ran off. So, bind up Satan. You bind Satan, you get everybody. If you walk in pride and think, you know, I know the demon there, well, you better really hope you know it. But if you say Satan, you get them all. If you bind up the boss, all the little demons, All the piggy wiggers have to follow. Okay? So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Second time it's saying the whole armor of God. Not a part of seven parts, actually, but right now we're focusing on five parts. Take on the whole armor of God, which are the five defensive parts that protect the five parts of your being. Then when you want to go on offense, you use the sword of the Spirit, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. It doesn't say in case an evil day comes. Evil day comes in the life of every person. Satan is an equal opportunity attacker. Okay? So know this. The storms of life will come. Have on your armor when it comes. And having done all to stand, you do everything you know to do, in the natural, in the spiritual, but after you do everything that needs to be done, then you stand in the security of having your armor on. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, your loins girt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. It doesn't mean above all in that this is more important than all the others. It literally means above all. You take this above all. The shield of faith is like the umbrella in a rain of curses. It's above all. It's the shield of faith that's going to block the fiery darts of the enemy. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. These fiery darts are typically fiery thoughts that come to your mind to set you in turmoil or whatever. Primarily, that's where they are, in the mind, but not exclusively. So you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice that Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with prayer and with supplication in the Spirit. Not in the natural, not in your leaning on your own understanding, but being led by the Spirit of God, and if necessary, letting the Spirit of God speak through you in words that you may not understand. See, if you know there's a problem, but you don't know what the problem is, and if you don't know what the solution is, the best thing is to have the Spirit of God pray for you. And when the Spirit of God prays for you, there are times when He will pray in an unknown tongue. We're going to have a whole entire module on tongues. There's seven different types of tongues. Seven different types of tongues in the Scripture. Okay? You can speak in a language you don't know, like maybe your natural language is English, and you can speak in French. I've spoken in Russian and Greek. What do you call
Spanish?
No, I've done, that's true, but I was thinking a long time ago. Yeah, Spanish was just a prophecy in Spanish. But in Russian and Greek, yeah, had conversations in Russian and Greek. So, but there are also different forms of unknown tongues. Like I said, tighten your seatbelt. Everything I show you will be straight from the Scriptures. So, let's look at each of these, these five, in a little bit more detail. For each one, we're going to look at what it is, what it affects, how to understand it, how the devil attacks you, and how you attain your victory. For each one. So, having your loins girt with truth, that is applying to the Spirit. You're born again, your spirit man is in the family of God. The Spirit is a source of life. And life is inside you. Now, in the natural realm, life comes from the loins. That's how people procreate. So, the truth is what sets you free. The truth is what moves you from darkness to light. So the loins are girt with the truth. In the spirit man, the spirit man is perfect. There is no sin in the spirit man. God lives in your spirit. God cannot live in a sinful place. So the spirit man lives in your spirit, and your spirit is perfect. You are a spirit. You, the spirit man, can sin. But you, the spirit man, can have parts, heart, soul, mind, body, and words, which can be of sin. And if we have time, we'll look at how that actually works. So, understanding. The belt of truth, covers the loins, which is the source of life. Jesus is the life. With the very life of God dwelling in your spirit, you have the power in you to overcome every sin, every temptation, and every trial of life. Romans 8:11 says, if the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken, pump life into your mortal flesh. See? Life is in you. Life in you. And the life in you will change every cell, organ, and system in your body. How does the devil attack this? Some examples. Some examples of how the devil attacks you, okay? His attacks are always through imaginations and thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast on imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the Bible is telling you, be aware of your thoughts, and if anything comes into your mind that does not line up with the Word of God, cast it down. The sooner the better. Don't let it build up a stronghold in your mind. Soon as you realize this is a sinful thought, get rid of it. Cast them down. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, we should think up of things which are true and honest, just, lovely, and pure, things of good report. If there be virtue, if there be praise, these are the things we should think upon. How do you think I got that memorized? By using it every time I got a bad thought in my mind. Believe me, I had a lot of practice. So no, I have it memorized. So the devil tells you things like, you won't win this time, okay? You can't overcome this challenge. You're given to this sin. This is the biggest sin. And you keep repenting and sinning. So he'll use all these and others to try to get you not to believe what the Word of God is saying about you. But you must know the truth that the source of life is in you, and you can do all things through Christ Jesus who dwells in you. Your word of victory. In the name of Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. No weapon of the enemy shall prevail against me. I am victorious because the God of the universe lives in me. The great God who creates the universe lives in you. You and God are a majority. You and God can do anything. You come back with the word against these lies as the devil tries to get you off the track. And here's one that I just like, and I just stuck it in there. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. No matter what he says, the word of God is true. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Part B, the breastplate of righteousness. So, the truth, life, comes from the loin. You have your loins girded with the belt of truth. But the breastplate of righteousness is attached to you. And the old-time military armor, the breastplate is something you put on, and it's buckled around you. You can't shake it off. So, no matter how challenged you are, no matter how out of sorts you feel, no matter how many right hooks and left hooks and left jabs that you've gotten, and you're staggering from the enemy, that breastplate of righteousness is still on you. And why is that important? Because no matter how much you've fallen, no matter how many times you've sinned, no matter how many times you're getting off the ground, no matter how many times you fail, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God sees you as righteous. And you hang on to that. I mean, something bad may happen and get you on a bender and you go off and you get drunk and you're feeling terrible. It makes no difference. You are the righteousness of God. And God says the righteous man falls 7 times and God lifts them back up every time. Get up and go again. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Understanding. Through the blood of Jesus, all your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. All the sins have been forgiven. God sees you as righteous. God sees you through the blood of Jesus. God sees you as never failing. And God wants you to see yourself that way. God wants you to see yourself through the Bible. You are what the Bible says you are. You have what the Bible says you have. You can do what the Bible says you can do. And you are the righteousness of God. It doesn't make any difference if you commit 70 times 7 sins in one day. You're still the righteousness of God. It's been paid for. All the sins have been paid for. Now, if you commit a sin, you really should, according to 1 John 1:9, confess it. Lord, I did this. It's against your word. You do not need to ask for forgiveness. You have already been forgiven. But you do need to say, Lord, I did this. It's against your word. Please cleanse me of all unrighteousness. To make your armor work properly, to block the attacks of the enemies. And the scripture says, 1 John 1:9, if you do that, God is faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. All the ones you committed without knowing it. Wonderful thing to do. Me? I like about every 15 minutes or so to say, Lord, I don't know any sins. Please cleanse me of the ones I don't know. To me, that's one of the major reasons why I have been able to be led by God in the area of health all these years. If I sin and I know it, as soon as I calm down, I will say, Lord, I did this, contradict your word. I'm sorry, help me not to do it again. Now, please cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I don't want any unrighteousness coming from any sins, especially the ones I don't know. I don't want to be blindsided. Neither do you. All it takes is to say, Lord, I don't know any sins. Please cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And the hands of the enemy have been tied, and he's got to try again to deceive you. So when you see yourself as the righteousness of God, it means that everything, every blessing of God, every benefit is available to you right now. The devil's lie. Uh-oh, you sinned again. How can you call yourself a Christian? God can never use a sinner like you. I know one pastor when he was getting into this process in his teaching, he said, I had to do this repenting and confessing a particular sin 45 times in 1 hour. That's like 1 minute. And many of us, maybe most of us, maybe all of us, have had an occasion where there is a strong driving for you to do something and you don't want to do it. I used to do it. I don't want to do it anymore. And it comes hammering, hammering, hammering. And every time it hammers, you just confess it. And after that time when he did it 4 to 5 times in an hour, it broke, went away. I suppose once in a while it comes back, but it lost its power. But it did take the diligence and the desire to do it like 4 to 5 times in 1 hour. Lord, I repent of this sin. Get it out of here. I cast that sin out of here. The devil's lie. You sinned again. How can you call yourself a Christian? You being a Christian, you being born again, has nothing to do with your sins. You are saved by grace. You're born again because of what God did, because of what Jesus did, because of the Holy Spirit convicting you. No, you had a part. Your part was you had to believe it and use your faith to receive it. So you're saved by grace through faith, but not of works. If you're not saved by works, then works are not going to cause you to lose your salvation. So, regardless of how many times the devil gets you to sin and then comes back and tells you, he doesn't say to you, oh, I caused you to sin, I tricked you into sinning, and now I'm going to say this. No, he pretends it's your sin. It was your idea. You wanted to do the whole sin. You did it. It's all on you. I know I'm going to tell you, what kind of Christian are you? You're a sinner. You keep falling into the same trap. He wants to use his double-edged sword, trick you into doing it, and then condemn you for it. But there's no condemnation. There is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, because they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your word of victory. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Okay. Part C. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. This is primarily for the soul. For the soul. The soul sets the goals, the plans, the dreams, the hopes, the ambitions of your life. The soul is influenced by what the eye sees and by circumstances, and also influenced by what comes out the mouth. So somebody is window shopping and they see this thing, and it's wonderful and beautiful, and they want it, and they say things like, boy, I'd do anything to get that. I would do anything to get that. How many people have said, I would do anything to be on the screen? And guess what? In doing that, they're making a contract with the devil. And yeah, they'll end up on the silver screen. But look at the price they have paid. We know about some of those prices. And all of us, many of us, have at times in the past, especially when we're younger, said, boy, you know, I'd do anything to get that. Or I'd do anything. I remember, you know, I was never much of a jock, but I decided to run a marathon. And I had never known anybody who had ever run a marathon, but I decided I was going to do it. And I made the determination. I said, I'm going to do anything that I have to run this marathon and complete it. No, that's a terrible thing to say. Nobody should ever say they'll do anything to get something. No, that's, it might be better if you say, I do anything that's godly. That's a whole lot better. But all you got to say is, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, so I'm going to accomplish that. No need to all these wild words that can often make covenants with the devil. So, understanding. The direction which you take with your feet determines the course of your life. You're shedding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. People go to, let's say, college. They go to college for 4 years. Feet are taking them to classes. And it's setting the course of their life. People prepare the gospel and they go out and preach the gospel. Some become missionaries. The direction which you take with your feet determines the course of your life. So immerse yourself in the Word of God to change your life, but also, as you change your life, you minister to others. Every time you hear the Scripture being taught, every time you read it, you should do two things. How can this change my life? If it says don't do it, then stop doing it. If it says you should do this, then start doing it. But at the same time, fight the way so you can teach it to somebody else. Fight the way. Just don't listen to a sermon for yourself. Listen for a sermon and see, who can I help with what I'm hearing? Shedding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace to change yourself and to change others. sermons will be a lot better if you try that. Take the word of God as it's spoken, apply it to yourself. What should I stop doing? What should I start doing? And how do I use this to help somebody? The sermons will just come much more alive to you. The engrafted word sets free both you and those to whom you minister. The engrafted word is the word that you make your own. It becomes kind of like your reflex action system. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The engrafted word becomes your own word in your heart. And the engrafted word spoken out of your mouth through your tongue sets your soul free and charts the course of your soul, determines the goals and plans, hopes and ambitions of your soul, which directs your life. How does the devil attack? You don't know enough to go preach the word of God. You don't know enough to be applying it. You can't do it. Yes, so you hear it and you believe it. And yeah, they can do it, but you can't do it. You don't know enough. And look, you failed before. You're going to try the word of God. You're going to fail again. These are some of the lies the devil uses. Your word of victory. In the name of Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. There are a lot of things you can say. I don't have to be concerned what I'm going to say, for the Holy Spirit will give me the right word. Part D, the shield of faith. The shield of faith functions with the mind. The fiery darts of the enemy comes to the mind primarily. That's thoughts and imagination. That's fantasies. And the shield of faith blocks it. How does it block it? It blocks it by saying, for example, 1 Corinthians 2:16, which is a powerful scripture to affirm over yourself. 1 Corinthians 2:16, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. And you say, well, I have the mind of Christ. I will not let a thought into my mind which does not belong in the mind of Christ. In fact, if a thought comes into my mind and it does not belong in the mind of Christ, I know that's a fiery dart. Because I am committed to having a mind renewed to the Word of God. I have the mind of Christ, that's what the Bible says. Therefore, all my thoughts are good and godly. So any thought that comes that doesn't qualify to be in the mind of Christ, it's not mine, it's the voice of a demon. And so you cast on the fiery dart and you bind that lying, fallen angel. Demons are just fallen angels. For every fallen angel, there are two good angels. So be aware of that, okay? So you just say, hey, demon, get out of here. Understanding. The shield of faith protects you against the fire darts of the enemy, which come against your mind. No matter what the circumstances, you are choosing to see through the eye of faith. Before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we would see through our physical eyes and our five senses. But after the baptism in the Holy Spirit, after we are born again and committed to following the Word, we start to see life through the Word of God, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so, we rely on our five senses less and less. We call them sight. We rely on our sight less and less. We start to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We're walking by faith, not by sight. We're walking by faith in the Word of God that we know. We're walking by faith in the fact that the Holy Spirit is leading us because we've asked Him, and not by the things you're seeing. And that should be the lifestyle we move into. It's an integral part of the armor of God. It's an integral part of your lifestyle. If you learn to do that, so when the devil pops in and says, you know, that pain in your leg, that's cancer, you can laugh and says, how can it be cancer? I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you tell the pain to leave. As you practice that, you'll be amazed how wonderfully fast and effective it can be. But like everything else, it takes practice. The kingdom of God is like a seed. You plant a seed, you wait a long time, then up comes a blade. One little blade. After you wait, what, weeks? But eventually it grows and grows. Then there's an ear, and finally, the full corn in the ear. Finally, there's so many leaves on the tree, you can't count them. And that's the way the kingdom of God is in your life and my life. Practice living it all the time. Practice making your decisions by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. So, the devil's lie will always be based on circumstances. So you think you've been healed? Look what the doctors are saying. So you think God supplies all you need? Look at your chicken account. The devil's lies. The circumstances are showing that God can't help you. Just give up on God. It's a lie. No matter how difficult it is, God can turn it around. God will turn it around. You will be an overcomer if you keep walking by faith, making your decisions by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And it takes practice. And in the beginning, it may take longer than afterwards, but after a while it comes faster and faster. Don't give up. God says, you walk by faith and not by sight. And the shield of faith protects your mind. The shield of faith protects your mind from those fiery darts that are coming against the Word of God. Your word of victory. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. God is not a man that he should lie. So I choose to believe God and not the circumstances. I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Finally, part E, the helmet of salvation. It's primarily for the body. The helmet covers the head, okay? And in the head is the brain. And everything the body does is translates up to the brain. So if you can protect the brain, then you can guide your body. Understanding, the helmet protects the brain and thus the body. The salvation package which you have through Jesus Christ covers every aspect of your life. You have already been provided in your salvation package everything that you need for life and godliness. It all belongs to you. And if you apply the word, you find the promise that is relevant to what you need, and you believe the promise, and you speak it out as an affirmation, you pray it first as a prayer, asking God for what you need, and then you declare it as a done fact, as an affirmation. I need a job. The scripture says you should work, so you ask God for a job because the scripture says you should work. And once you ask him, then you start declaring, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the job you've given me. In the name of Jesus, God has given me my job. And you start preparing to go to work. You start preparing to go to work. Don't wait until the job is signed, sealed, and delivered before you start preparing to go to work. Start rejoicing and start preparing for the answer as soon as you finish the prayer. So the salvation package which you have through Jesus covers every aspect of your life. Wherever there's an attack of evil in your life, Jesus has already provided it for you. He's provided what you need. He's provided the way out of the challenge. All provided. Everything you need for life and godliness, everything you need for success and overcoming has already been provided. Your job is to partner with God by speaking and acting on the word. The devil's lie. Jesus has saved you. You're born again. And he saved you from challenges before. But look at this one. This one is really big. This one is too big for God to help you. It's impossible. Look at it. It's impossible. Nothing is impossible for God. If you believe, all things are possible. And this applies to, you know, trials, temptations, financial lack, challenges in your health, challenges in relationships, applies to everything. So the devil wants to tell you that this particular one is different and it's going to cause you failure, death, or destruction. But the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And truth flows from the Spirit of God into you. Life flows into you. Truth comes from God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you've been set free from the lies of the enemy. Your soul has been set free. You're not walking by the sight of the eye of faith, making your decisions by faith, not circumstances. And you know what your salvation package is, to recover your body from its bruising. Your word of victory. In the name of Jesus, I have God's shalom peace. Perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Hebrew has no such expression as perfect peace, but they do use shalom, shalom, which we translate as perfect peace. Nothing missing and nothing broken in your life, because Jesus paid the price for your full salvation. Jesus has paid the price for the fullness of your redemption. Everything you need for life and godliness belongs to you. The fullness of redemption is yours, and we continue to grow into it as we learn more and more of the Word of God and partner with God to bring them into manifestation in your life, in my life. So God bless you all, and see you in the next module.
So Holy Spirit, we invite you to fall afresh upon us now as we come to accept this wonderful, blessed invitation. Thank you, Lord, that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Lord, we notice that these are all commands. They're not suggestions. It's like you really, really want us to do it. So you're just telling us, just do it. Do it. Take, eat, partake, receive. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for making it available to us. And we thank you, Lord, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's a done deal, a completed work, and the blessings of healing, wholeness, health, restoration, rejuvenation, all of that belongs to us right now, right here. And we thank you, Lord, for we are the healed of the Lord, and we do say so as we now partake together of the broken body of Jesus in the great exchange to receive our healing and wholeness. We give you thanksgiving and praise, Jesus, as we remember. Let's partake together. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving up your very life. The life is in the blood, and you poured out your very life, every last drop, to pay the price for every one of our sins, and establishing this new covenant even after having sealed the old one. For it was still a foundation. The new one's just better and everlasting. And we thank you, Lord. You've made us covenant partners with you, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How wonderful that is. We thank you. We praise you. As we now partake together of this cup of blessing and this cup of life, in Jesus' name, we do remember and we rejoice.